Well, good evening, everybody. I tell you what, Vacation Bible School, almost hate to see it end, but tonight's our final night, and the kids, we've had great participation. Thank you. Some reason I've got rain on my mind, and so I think tonight's going to be a great night. So we've got a treat for you all tonight. In lieu of our VBS, we're continuing our summer series. And so our guest speaker tonight is somewhat local, just down the road from Claremore, and Mr. Mike Schrader and his wife, Debbie. She's over there. So we're glad to have them tonight. Mike is a pulpit minister for the Blue Star Church of Christ in Claremore, where he has served for 28 years. Mike has been an instructor in preacher training. He's also done programs both in the States and overseas and has also been active in campaign work throughout the years. Mike is a graduate of the Sunset International Bible Institute in both disciplines of their Bible studies and their mission programs. He has continued educational opportunities through the years. He is also a certified facilitator of marriage and family and parenting courses, as well as involved in the Oklahoma Marriage Initiative across the state of Oklahoma in an effort to save marriages. And I'm not sure what the statistics are, but we don't do too good in that department, do we? The gospel has allowed him to go to India, Nigeria, Germany, Scotland, Mexico, and places throughout the states. Mike's wife, Debbie, is a financial controller's business analysis senior for AEP, American Electric Power. They have four grown married children who have been blessed with 12 grandchildren. Quite an event when it comes to Thanksgiving, isn't it? Yes. So with no further ado, we'll turn it over to Mike and let him have the evening. Thank you, Mike.
I'm on, I guess. It is good to be with you. When I think about Glenpool, my history goes back a long ways, maybe even farther than some of you with that. I had to introduce myself back here once again. When I was at 29th and Yale, back about 1990, and I realized that's a long time ago. We actually came out to Glenpool, held a tent meeting, and you remember that as well too? Yeah, it was hotter than anything. You know, I think it must have been paralleled possibly to today as well too. And the other thing that I remember back that evening was when we were speaking one time, there was a black cat that meandered around among all the chairs and the people and all those things. So we go back a long ways with that. So it is a blessing to see what God has done. And I know that God will continue to do his work among you. Blessing to see Vacation Bible School as well too, and the kids enjoy themselves. That means that there's another generation that will continue on in regard to the Lord's work. And so thankful for that. I know that there are those who have passed on that have been part two whenever we came. Don was working, and I know that he's gone on to his reward as well too. And so it's good to be with you. It's hard to believe so many years go by. Some of you realize that as well. My body tells me sometimes that is one of those things that happens, but we continue to try to deny that as well too. So the subject tonight is what I've learned. And there's so many things that are involved in that. That are involved in that. And I flip-flopped all around everything in regard to thinking about what I wanted to speak tonight. But over the years, as I've been in ministry and pulpit ministry for 38 years now. There is some consistent things that I hope that you are aware of, and I hope that we continue to maintain. And so I'm going to share actually three things that are involved in that as we think about that. It is reasonable to let what was taught at the beginning of Christianity to be the standard for Christianity today. That seems normal and natural to me. But in our world, it is not too normal. I particularly selected the word reasonable because if you try to let anything else guide you in regard to Christianity, it's just going to be all over the place. And that's what's happened to Christianity itself. They're all over the place. And you realize that so oftentimes they don't meet together with one another. And that's definitely not what God intended, nor the reason that he sent his son. I have always had the dream, and I suppose maybe every preacher has the dream, with the idea of thinking about what would it be like if an entire town met as one body in Christ. And then think about Jesus' prayer in John 17 and the fact of what witness that would be to the world around us. Satan has definitely done his work. Over the last few months, I've realized that more. Maybe that's influenced me in regard to things I'm going to share with you tonight. But there's a really popular curriculum now that's going around that's called the Bible Project. And there is a lot of good that's done within that in regard to kind of thinking about Jesus in the Old Testament and coming on into the New Testament. But I also realize that it can lead people astray. The person who puts that together and the narrator in regard to that does not believe in a literal hell. In fact, in one of his programs, he actually makes a statement that is a man-made philosophy or concept. And so in the end times, he's thinking Jesus is going to come back. He's going to establish his kingdom on the earth. And those who are righteous will live in one place, and those who are wicked or evil will live in another place. And they'll live their life out like that. There's nothing in Scripture that relates that. And so, I mean, for us to think about Christianity, it is reasonable to go back to the Bible and to think about the idea of the standards or what is involved in that. You know, one of the things that is familiar to us is the passage in 2 Timothy. And I want to remind you a little bit of Paul here speaking to Timothy. I want to begin in verse 14. I want you to listen to what he says to them. He says, "You, however, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of." I mean, you can know. You can learn. And you can know what you are convinced of. "Knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped unto every good deed." Where else could we understand how we ought to live life? Where else can we have the convictions that are really ours, except by the Word of God itself? Another passage 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And I'm not advancing, so I'm not sure what's taking place here. Okay, but earlier, in regard to thinking about Timothy, he says, "Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me in the faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." So retain the standard of sound words. There are sound words. We need not be fooled with the idea that we know better. You know, the common philosophy is now, I'm kind of the captain of my soul. It's kind of a back history in regard to philosophy that Marxism was a part of. And yet, it is the fact that God has given us his word in order that we might have sound teaching, that we might have sound words of faith that are in Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Hold fast the faithful words, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." So you have two things that Paul actually speaks to Timothy or Titus about, and that is, first of all, the idea of sound doctrine. Doctrine today gets a bad rap. This Greek word could also be translated teaching. It's sound teaching. And where are you going to find the sound teaching? Paul says he's going to find it in what I preach to you. You're going to find it in regard to Scripture. And so it's one of those things in which not only can we have sound teaching, sound doctrine, but we can also refute those who contradict. We don't like to think about contradictions, right? I'm faced with making a decision. I know I'm going to have to visit a family that is caught up in this Bible project somehow or another, that they're just taking it hook, line, and sinker. And there's been a few lessons that have kind of revealed that, with the idea that it takes away from this concept of heaven and hell. And so it's one of those things that I realized that I'm going to have to talk to them about that. But Paul tells Titus sound doctrine, but it also can be used to refute those who contradict those things. The second thing that I want to share with you, and I'm sorry that I'm not doing things right here or something. Maybe I can do this. Can I do this? No. All right. I shared with you, first of all, that it's reasonable to let what you taught, what was taught at the beginning of Christianity, to be the standard of Christianity today. The second thing that I want to share with you is that going back to Scripture corresponds to our present day interest of seeking God and doing his will in our lives. I believe that people want to know God's word. I believe that people want to live God's will out in their lives. But the way that you're going to find that is not in necessarily a conversation with each other, unless somebody's read Scripture or not. But the way that you're going to find that is to go back to Scripture, to go back to the Bible to understand that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." It's interesting that the King James Actually, we'll read this way. I'm not advanced. If you can advance it for me, one slide. I want you to notice what the King James says regarding this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the New King James. We thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We seek truth. You seek truth. And we don't want to live a lie in our lives. We want to know that the things that we're doing and the way that we're living are really true regarding God's word and acceptable to him and pleasing to him. By the way, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 will say, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, I wanted to put that in there because I want you to understand that God desires you to know the truth. He does. He's not in the trickery business. You know, he's not in the deceiving business at all. God wants you to know the truth. You remember Jesus' conversation in regard to the Sermon on the Mount? Seek, knock, right? If you knock on the door, God will open the door up and you'll find him. And so I want you to know that. By the way, since I'm at that point, I'm not sure whether you're here in regard to BBS or not. Maybe your kids are here. I want you to know, and I believe this, that this congregation, the people who are members here, would be in any way pleased to sit down with you and open Scripture up with you and to study with you and look at that with you. It's not one of those intimidating things. I mean, you sit down, both of you take your Bibles together, right? Just read from the Bible itself and you can understand what it has to say. It is a blessing. It is a blessing to know God's word. It is a blessing to live with for him, right? If you search for God, he can be found. One last thing that I want to share with you is the idea that going back to Scripture is the only practical thing to do. Going back to Scripture is the only practical thing to do. Now, I chose practical because going anyplace else is not very practical. It's just not. If each of us choose a different book to live by, or we choose a different philosophy to live by, or a different philosopher to follow, we'll not end up in the same place. We'll be divided from one another. We'll not understand. We'll be living different ways. But the Bible brings us together. It doesn't contradict itself, but it actually guides us and directs us in regard to our lives. John chapter 8, 31 and 32, Jesus was saying to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's good news, isn't it? I mean, because we can know the truth. But the way that we know the truth is we've got to go back to the Bible. We've got to go back to Scripture to understand that. We have small groups on Sunday evening, and we have an opportunity just to sit down in a small groups, about 10 to 15 people. And we just open up the Bible, or we take some sort of concept and we approach it in regard to the Bible. And you know, it is such a blessing to sit down together and to come out of those times together together and not apart from each other, right? And so Scripture does that. It's a very practical thing to do, actually, to go back to Scripture and to understand those things. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus, praying for his disciples, says, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." The passage back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's one of the things that happens that seems to happen to me today, and that is that oftentimes people get caught up on the new thing, right? And that's kind of what happened with this family as well, too. They got caught up on the new thing. And the issue is not, is it new, but is it true? Is it true according to what the Bible says? And so we always have to be understanding in regard to going back and looking at what Scripture says. I don't think that we, we ought not be afraid to look at the Bible. You know, even if we're 50 years into, I'm 38 years into preaching, I'm not afraid to go back and to look at the Bible again and to look at the context of what's being said and understand really what is being implied with those things. I'm not afraid to look at the truth. We shouldn't be afraid to look at the Bible. We shouldn't be afraid to sit down with the Bible with each other. I'm reminded of the fact that we need to continue to search out Scripture. And so the one thing that I've learned is this. Let me go to the end slide there, if it's there. Okay. Let me go back and just recap here. I've learned that it's reasonable. I've learned that it's reasonable for us to go back to the Bible and to think about our lives and apply God's word to our lives. I've learned also that it's contemporary. I think that that's what all of us want to do. I think that's what the next generation wants to do, that we want to go and understand what God has to say in regard to our lives. And so I think it is contemporary. I always have to chuckle just a little bit. I did a lesson one time that worship was contemporary. And you realize that contemporary worship in our culture and world needs now means that it's anything and everything, right? Worship is always contemporary. It's what we do each and every Sunday. It's how we live our lives. Religion is contemporary. And so going back and studying the Bible is contemporary. And it ought to be contemporary. We ought to enjoy our time together in regard to Scripture. But it's also practical, right? It is practical for us to understand those things. Now, why did I choose to just think about the idea of what I've learned with this idea of going back to the Bible? I'm afraid that we are overlooking what God has given to us. And we've become so much of a self-indulgent society and culture. We want the fast food stuff, right? We want it fast. But growing up as a Christian, and Christianity is a growing process. It's a process in which that we have to have the Word of God to feed us what truth is and actually to live by it. So to allow the Bible to lead us into truth in living our Christian lives today. Right? You might say, I've known that all my life. good. I'm glad. But I'm afraid that there's a lot that do not. The old story is told about the preacher that had gone to visit a member of the congregation, hadn't been very faithful in regard to church service and attendance. And so, you know, he just asked the gentleman, what is it? Why aren't you coming anymore? And he says, well, you know, preacher, and David will enjoy this, I just don't get anything out of your sermons, you know? I can't tell you what you preached on last Sunday. And, you know, he just says, I just don't feel like I'm getting nutrition regarding this. And so the preacher just says, well, you know, tell me, do you know what you had for dinner last night? Well, yeah. You know, he named off his wife had fixed dinner, and so he remembered that. And he says, well, what'd you have for dinner last Sunday? Well, I don't know. I don't remember. Well, what about the Sunday before? He says, well, I just can't tell you what that was. The preacher says, well, you know what? Every meal that your wife prepares for you sustains you and gives you the nutrition to live toward the next meal. You know what the implication is? You might not remember everything that happens in regard to a worship service or everything that's been said last Sunday or the Sunday before or a year ago or whatever it was. But every word that comes out of the Word of God sustains you, whether you remember it all or not. It feeds you, whether you remember it or not. And so, I know that life is not a straight line. Yeah, I had to look at the slide up here earlier, and I told the gentleman over here, I like the top of the slide, you know, thunderstorm that's supposed to put you to sleep, right? Life doesn't put you to sleep. Life throws you around all over the place, just like the skit that they did. It just throws you around all over the place. What is going to sustain you in life? What will sustain you in life is the Word of God and the trust and faith that you put in it. The hope that it sustains you and brings you through troubled times. So it's not an even road. It's not a straight road. It's one that's filled with curves and bumps and potholes. But every word that you give your life to, that you give your mind to, that you give your heart to, every word will sustain you through whatever life throws at you. You know, I love our silver-haired members. I'm becoming one myself, okay? You know, it is, if you give yourself an opportunity to sit down with them and to be around them, you'll learn that what sustains them and really what they hold on to now is not the house that they live in, it's not the car, it's not the job. It is their faith. Their faith in Jesus Christ. And the hope that the Word of God has given to them. I pray that you learn those things as well. I pray that you don't have to do it the hard way. Right? I mean, some people have to learn the hard way. I've seen some of those people that it just, you know, you couldn't knock it in their head in any way at all. They just had to learn it themselves. But I do pray that you learn it, one way or the other. The scripture, that the Bible really is what guides you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Father, we thank you for your word, for your wisdom that is far above us, your thoughts that are far above our thoughts. And Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, that we have the story that sustains us. And especially, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness in regard to our sins when we go down the wrong path, when we make the wrong choices, when we make the wrong decisions. Father, for your mercy and your grace, we're thankful to you because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the cross, and especially, Father, because of the resurrection. We too have hope, and we too have the promise of knowing that we too will be raised one day. Thank you, Father, for the promise of heaven. We cannot fathom what that'll be like. To imagine, Father, that we will all be together with all the saints throughout all the ages, whether past or future. What a glorious day that will be. What amazing, Father, worship that is hard for us to comprehend that we will enjoy. Thank you, Father, for your willingness and for your love and for the sacrifice of your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me also say this or remind you once again. Sometimes it is hard sitting down with God's word to understand some things, right? Even Paul says it's hard to understand some things. It's good for us to be together and to sit down together and open God's word up together. So maybe you'll find a friend here and you can share God's word together with each other. Sit down and study together, all right? I'll end with that.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that very much. Appreciate Mike and Debbie Schrader being here and appreciate the work that you're doing at Blue Star and Claremore. And I appreciate you reminding us that God's word is a lamp to our feet that gives us guidance and shows us his truth. Right. We are about 30 minutes away from the kiddos coming back in here. And so if you want to, you can mill around and make yourself comfortable. I'd love to have you back in here about 10 minutes till the hour. So when the kids come back here, we can encourage them and support them. If you want to stick around also, for those of us who are young at heart, there's snow cones and there's all kinds of different flavors when they dismiss at 8 o'clock. And I'm told we have some really, I don't know what tiger's blood is. Do you know what that is, Mike? I've never had tiger's blood, but they say it's one of their best sellers. So anyway, we're going to have ice snow cones. And also understand they're going to have some really sour stuff. And so we're going to try to get Todd to eat some really sour stuff because I understand it sets his toes to curl. And so if you really want to watch something fun, hang around at 8 o'clock and we'll feed Todd some sour stuff. So we're dismissed for a few minutes, but if you can, hang around, make your way back in here at 10 till, and we'll wrap up our VBS. Thank you, Mike, and thank you for your message. Appreciate you very much, brother. God bless.